Joining me live on the Games Gone podcast this week, I'm absolutely thrilled. It's old Birmingham City player, but a man with a career you wouldn't believe. It's Mickey Rathbone, known as Baz. You don't mind being called Baz, do you?
Tom, nobody calls me Mickey. That took me back to my mate. That took me back to my school days. Mickey Rathbone. Jeez, blimey.
Well, Baz, wow. Of course, famous actor, wasn't he? Basil Rathbone.
And my first day at Blackburn, I was on loan from Birmingham, 1979. I went in and Alan Birchenell, he took me in and he went, Mick Rathbone, we'll call him Baz. And the name stuck from that day, Tom. And people wouldn't even know my name was Mick. It's weird. It's the weirdest kind of nickname ever, but it stuck so much.
My stories of you at Blues and travelling to training and excuses for being late were legendary and still are, but we'll come to that. Firstly, you wrote a wonderful book, which was so successful, The Smell of Football. And I didn't think you could top that, but you've topped it with The Smell of Football 2. And firstly, you know, we'll talk about how that came about. Well, let's talk about how that came about now, because the last thing I remember is your mate, David Moyes, sacking you at Everton.
It was incredible. That I'll never forget that day. We just beat Portsmouth at home, last game of the season. And he just got me in his office and he said, it's time for the change. And I said, don't go, Dave. You're doing a great job. He said, no, Baz. He said, a change in the medical department. I said, you've never liked Matt. He said, Baz, it's not Matt. I said, Danny. He went, it's not Danny either. I said, right, give me a minute. You're making a change in the medical department, not Matt, not Danny. I'm sorry, you'll have to give me a cue. He goes, Baz, he's sat in the room now and it's not me. I'm looking under the cushions, behind the curtains, and then, Tom, the penny dropped and it was over. It never happened like that. I've made that up over the years. It's quite a good story.
Why did
it was a great parting of the ways, Tom.
Vince did he tell you why, though?
Yeah, I'd become jaded, burned out. I talk about it in the book and that. But you know what was the most amazing thing? I say the first chapter is just about that kind of awkward 45 minutes. I've had a few of them, mate. And I'm tumbling, walking down the stairs in a state of shock. And Fellaini's ringing me. And he's a great guy, but he kept going back to Belgium without permission. And he kept phoning me, getting me in trouble with the boss. But he's not the boss now. He's not my boss anyway. And the phone's ringing, Fellaini, well, delete, because he can F right off now because it's not my issue anymore. And do you know what you realise, mate? I went in the next day to clear my desk. I had to keep calm and carry on place, Matt. I got that, a couple of family photos. I'm walking down the stairs, starting to feel actually reborn. I'm walking down the stairs, the pressure's gone. Charles Atlas has put the world down, hasn't he? Like, and a player, a very well-known international player, comes running up to me. He'd had a scope on his knee. He goes, Baz, have a look at this. I think this is infected. Anyway, if that had happened 2 days before, as he's rolling his trouser leg up, the sweat's pouring off me, by the way. Anyway, he's rolling the trouser leg up, and I think, you know what? I actually don't care. I couldn't give a toss. It's not my problem. It's somebody else's problem now. Now, obviously, I did care. If there had been an issue, I would have done something to sort it out. But I can't tell you how much that sudden parting of the ways and the handing over the responsibility. I drove home, floated home. So I think, you know what? It's over. All the things I was worrying about have gone. It was absolutely incredible. Then obviously reality sinks in a little bit, like, you know, because you start thinking, wow, I've done 8 years at Everton. We've had some great results, some great times, some great European qualifications. And what they're basically saying is they don't want you at the club. They will benefit from you not being here. The Everton that you love, they think they can do better without you. So you start playing all their mind games and that. It wasn't quite as simple as that, Tom. There's a parting of the ways. There's burnout. Dave done me a massive favour. You could see I was struggling in that, like, you know. So and it was really interesting. I went home and the jungle drums went out, like he got sacked because of Phil Neville's injury. Not true, but never let the truth get in the way of a good story. And then I'm sat there. My wife went to bed. The kids went to bed. Isn't that in the wrong order? And then about 2 a.m., the final catharsis, the little yellow ribble comes across on Sky Sports News. Everton have parted company with physio Mick Rathbone. Everton have parted company with physio Mick Rathbone. Everton have parted company for about an hour. And I thought, yeah, I like that. Party company, switched off, go to bed, line tomorrow morning. move on. And that was it. Incredible day, mate. Incredible day.
I get it. Because when I left BRMB after 36 years, that day after, when you've had 36 years of getting up and you don't have to get up.
Yeah.
Wow. That takes some mental strength to deal with, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but when you get sacked in football, you get paid up. You don't probably get paid up from BRMB, do you?
Correct.
Might let you keep your car park pass for a couple of weeks in the post box, whatever it's called, pillbox. But they were great with me. And it was really interesting. I weren't performing great. I'd had like no days off either for 18 years. And it was, they've done me a massive favour. And it was great. It was amicable and that, like, you know, so...
You'd grown attached, though, haven't you, Nick? You'd grown attached to the club.
Yeah, but when the players found out, a couple of players, one in particular, phoned me up. He said, no. He goes, Baz, if you're not reinstated, I'm not playing for the club again. I'm like, whoa, stop there, mate. This is great. I'm enjoying it. I've got a break now. I can get my book done and everything, like, you know. So it worked out amazingly well. And me and Dave stayed amazingly good friends. We still are today. And there were no hard feelings. He did a great thing for me and for the club. In that order, I don't know, maybe not. But, you know, he's my best friend in football. And I do say in the second book, give him a chance and he'll show you he's the best manager around. West Ham have done that and he's proven it.
So you genuinely believe how good Moyes is?
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. Wow. He got rid of the dead wood, didn't he? He was the best.
Funny enough, I told somebody, I was talking to you today, somebody who'd been around the game a long time, and they said, you know, as a manager, they say you're never really established as a manager till you've had to sack your pal.
Yeah. Well, I've arrived then. I've arrived. But it was really funny, Tom, because then you've got like, you have a great summer, you've got paid up, the World Cup in South Africa. I was going to go to South Africa to keep an eye on Steve P and eye on Everton players, but as I was now sacked, obviously Everton weren't going to pay my flight, so I didn't go. I sat down and watched it, but all the pressure's gone, you feel absolutely amazing. But then it starts ramping up. You've got this weird scenario. The players are going back for pre-season, but you're not there for the first time in 30 years, was it 35 years? And then you've got that awful, awful feeling of, right, they're playing their first game. Do you want them to win or not? And I'm telling you, Tom, and I say it in the book, the $64,000 question, they're playing at Ewood of all places, a mile from where I'm sat now, your old club, do you want them to win or lose? I wanted them to lose, mate, and I say it in the book, and I don't care who you are, and if you say you feel different, anybody, I'll call you a liar. They didn't want you for the right reasons, but you don't want to win. And people say, Dave made a great decision. And I know it sounds terrible, Tom, but I'm only being honest. You don't want them to have no injuries. And they lost. They were bottom of the league or near bottom after 10 games. They had loads of injuries. Nobody's fault. The guys who took over me were the best. Danny Donaghy, one of my best friend, Matt Connery, the best around and that. It's bad luck, Tom. But I didn't want people to say, and people are like this, Tom, you know. Well, Baz, Everton are struggling. I've seen they've got no injuries since you left. And people are like that. And yeah. I'm only human and that. And I didn't want my friends to be struggling with loads of injuries. I didn't want the club to be bottom, but come on, cut me some slack. I didn't want to win the first 10 games. They rallied. They got through that early, difficult period. And I think they finished fifth. They had a great season. I was so pleased for them. But come on, not the first game, not the first 10 games. Let's have some bleeding here, you know. We're human, want to be missed, don't we?
So how do you... Because what comes across in the book is this older man trying to make it in a young man's world.
Yeah, and feeling threatened by it. And, you know, I worked at all those clubs and that, and the big theme is to be out... I've always been a really good runner, like, you know, at all the clubs and that. And this kind of obsession with being the best runner, even though you're 52, 54, 56, 60, 62... I tell a story about me and Kev Cobb. I went for a run and nobody could beat me, Tom, at the 12-minute run. But on the last lap, Kev just left me. And I say in the book, I was devastated. Why does it matter? He was 28, I'm 58, whatever, like. And the simple is, and I say in the book, listen to this because this is important. Why does it matter? Because you could be the physio and kind of jog around with them or do it on a bike or do it with a loudspeaker. But no, because while I can run and pass and do shuttles as good as any player at any club, even at Forest, I was in the top running group, and that was only 4 years ago. Like, you know, while I can do that, Tom, it doesn't really matter that I can't switch a laptop on. It doesn't matter that I don't know what a paradigm is. It doesn't matter that I thought pre-activation, when you didn't last long, that sex, you know. So it was all that, Tom, and it's all to do with that. I've been out with Salford today, ran well. Who cares? I care, Tom.
Yeah.
I care.
Do you think that I would think, maybe it's me, but I would think the young players would be inspired by that.
Absolutely. You know what? It was really funny. Somebody passed the ball to me today. I done an unbelievable trick and everyone was laughing. I said, oh, guys, I just tested positive for balling. You know, and it means a lot to me, Tom, that I'm still good at passing and running and stuff, you know. So, yeah. And the reason is because while I can do that and run and twist it, I remember one day at Forest 4 years ago, I was running with a player and the left winger went in from the crossing session and I had to go, Baz, come on. So I joined in on the left. Oh, my God, I was on fire because there's no pressure when you're the physio. When I was a player at Birmingham in the 70s, I couldn't get the ball off the deck. Right. And I was a really good player, but if it was Trevor and Ken, if you read the first book, I couldn't get the ball off the deck. But now it don't matter. I can whip the thing in left foot, right foot, no issue.
Pressure's the key word.
Hey, lads, come on. He's 60. Only he crossed the effing ball at the club, like, you know. Best day of my life, incidentally. So it matters that you can run and twist and turn and train. I always stay out crossing the balls for the keepers and that. It matters, and it's because of that.
You said tired and jaded. Was it in Everton's mind that you were the wrong age?
No, not 100% not. It's burnout, it's fade out. We had a tsunami of injuries. My first year at Everton, we were favourites to go down, 2002. Favourites to go down, finished seventh, got into Europe. People couldn't believe it. And they said just as much as Moyes has transformed the club, Mick Rathbone's transformed that injured club feel. They interviewed me at the end of the season. Wow, Baz, you. I said, no. It's luck. And they said, God, you're humble too. I said, mate, one day we'll have that tsunami of injuries. I'll remind you of this. That tsunami of injuries came in that 2009, 2010 season. Every time I turned around, somebody was hobbling, limping, gone over on their ankle. Incredible, Tom. And it wears you out. And I go
other days a week.
I go in every morning, mate, to see David, who's my best mate, Alan Irving. It was Steve Round then, I think, the last couple of years. Woodsy, Lummy, my mates and that. And I say, I start with a list as long as your arm. Sorry, no, that's a 6 month and that, no. And he's phoning sick and he's done his ankle and that. It's his hamstring. It's worse than we thought. And I give him that bad news. Now, I see their faces sink and their hearts sink. They're not blaming me. I know they're not. But they are looking at me and hating on me. They're not hating me, Tom. Of course they're not. But I'm giving them that bad news.
Bad news.
And, you know, back in the Roman days, you give bad news, you lose your head. literally. So I'm in that position every day to give my friends, who I think the world of, yeah, I'm sorry, it's that. When I go out the room, I don't think they're saying, he's a shit physio, by the way, because we've got all the injuries. I think they're probably saying, wow, we're having no luck. I might be wrong. It might be the former. But you know what? When you're giving that bad news all the time, it doesn't half drain you. It drains the life out of you, like, you know. And I'm always upbeat and positive, and I never let the lads see, but it's killing you day by day. It's the death of 1,000 cuts. It's the death of 1,000 hamstrings. So Dave got me in a couple of times that year. He goes, Baz, where's the old Baz? And you know what? He answered his own question. The old Baz had become the old Baz, you know. And it's hard when it's bad news every day. It's hard to lift it. It's hard to drive through the barrier when I know there's 9 players waiting for me and a few mystery ones who woke up with a tight hamstring and that. And I'm telling you, it sucks the life out of you. It's not David's fault, but a couple of times he said, come on, Baz. And I said, Dave, I was 50, I think, then. I said, I need a break, mate. And not like 2 weeks in, mate. I needed a long break. And he was amazing. He got me and he gave me that break. Sacking me, I guess, but it wasn't like that. It was never like that. And we stayed friends and we worked together at Man United for a bit. He was there. And funnily enough, my last ever, I've had 5 years of last ever games. So I was at Wigan. My last ever game was Wigan at Reading. Reading went up that day. It's my last ever game. But I went to Forest. I stayed on. And my last ever game was Bolton and Forest, the end of that championship season. And that was it. And then my last ever game, I did some work in the Caribbean. And you're putting that final strapping on. This is my last ever strapping. And then they said, come back to Everton. Went back to Everton for 6 months. They said, stay longer. So that wasn't my last ever strapping. So at the end of that season, that was my last ever strapping. They said, stay another year. So that was my last ever strapping. Then Salford said, come to Salford. So that was my last ever strapping. I said, I'll stay for a month. And I stayed, and I stayed till I was 63 on my birthday, my last ever strapping. Then they said, please, we've got nobody. I said, I'll stay at the end of December. So on the last day, it's my last ever strapping. Then they said, stay till the end of Jan. So today was my last ever strapping, but it's not. So you've had that kind of metaphor of your last ever strapping, and I'm still going, mate, but I am leaving at the end of Jan. I am, I promise you.
Did you ever think, Baz, when Moises sacked you, you were still relatively young then. I know you were jaded, but you were young. So retirement was never the key, was it?
No. I wanted my book to be out. And that was, I talk about my second book, about the first book. And that, to have a book out, is your most amazing experience in your life. Yeah. Do you know what's really funny, Tommy? When it come out, I never really thought people are going to criticise this book. And they might say it's great. They might say it's terrible. Now, it came out and the publishers in London said, right, it's been reviewed by 442 Mag. And I thought, oh, my God, I never realised. Anyway, they gave it a 5-star review and said it was an amazing book. And all the people did. But that kind of was an eye-opener. I thought, wow, 442 could have given it a 1-star. And people saying, this book's crap. Now, nobody did. But, God, it was kind of a shot across the bows. I never even thought about that. So the book's out. It's really exciting. And I'm away with England and we're in Cambridge and the lads are going to look around the universities, Starbucks, let's be honest. So me and the doc are in Cambridge and that, and we've looked around the universities. You've got to go. It's the most amazing place, our heritage and that. Then we're going Waterstones, and on the top floor, all the sports books are there. And I go in, oh, my God, there's a table with only my book, featured book, book of the month, whatever, like, you know. And on the next table, there's Alex Ferguson's book, slightly fewer books, but featured. So me and the doc, we got all his books, put them under the table and got more of mine and put them on. There you go. I admit it, Sir Alex. I'm really sorry, like, you know. So, but the point is, Tommy, to see your book, I came down to BRMB, did a thing with you, like I was working at COP at the time, and to see your book up in lights and people say, this book is amazing. And to be long listed for the William Hill and got to the last 5, the British Football Book of the Year. And mate, it's, I've never taken cocaine, although I do eat a lot of Skittles. I don't know what it's like, but the buzz of seeing those 5-star reviews coming through about your book and saying, you know what, this is Jonathan Norcroft, the Sunday Times guy. It is the Times. He said, you know, it's my book of the year. It's actually an amazing book. It's so incredible, especially when you've had all the low esteem problems and that, like, you know, like I did and that. You know, I don't know if people know this. I nearly died when I was 17, Tom. Yeah. If those Birmingham City fans would have got through that dressing room door, I wouldn't be here today, mate. So to have all that badness and then to kind of have that book and then people say, you know what, this is an amazing book. It was the most incredible experience of my life.
I suppose, I mean, I enjoyed the first book and it made me laugh and everything. This book, there's some really funny bits.
Yeah.
But some of it brings a lump to my throat as well, if that makes any sort of sense.
Well, you know, the first book's about suffering terribly. And I played for Birmingham City. It was my team. I was born by the stadium. We're all blue noses, we're called now. That was my club. And I got a lot of stick there, which I completely deserved. I don't doubt that. But you know what the fans are like, you know, we pay our money, we'll boo if we want. I'd say, yeah, but you're my parents. So, you know, a prophet's, it's in the Bible, this, a prophet's always despised in his homeland and that. And the fans weren't hard. And when I've looked back about how tough the players were on me, I've seen all them players over the years, they're delightful people. Absolutely fantastic. I seen Trevor Francis about 3 years ago, 4 years ago at the Algarve Airport. Sadly, he's with his wife, Helen, and it was so sad because I remember Helen from the 70s and being so lovely to my girlfriend and taking her in the car to the games and stuff like. She didn't bring her back because I played so bad. But no, seriously, Tom, she was an amazing lady. So I saw Trevor, and then a couple of years ago, I saw Trevor Wolves or West Brom, and he was such a lovely guy, and he'd come over to me, we'd chat and laugh and joke, and a lot of the stuff in the 70s and that kind of awfulness and the stick and that, a lot of it's actually very subjective and probably perceived and exaggerated in my immature mind. And I've seen all those guys over the Malcolm Page, I told your family yesterday and that, and I've seen all those guys over the years, and John Connolly got a job at Queen of the South when I was at Prestonby loaning him a player, so John came down, and obviously, I was with Howard at Everton. Howard at Blackburn. He's my player manager. And a lot of that difficulties was down to me being hypersensitive and young and that, like, you know. I'll tell you an incredible story about Faith. It's in the second book, Tom. So I'm now at Man United and I'm the loans manager. So I'm looking after the lads on loan. So we've got a player called Tyler Blackett and he's on loan at Birmingham along with Jesse Lingard, Makeda, like, you know. But I go down to watch Tyler play. So I've returned to the killing fields of St Andrews. Is it, God, 40 years on? I'm sat in the main stand at St Andrews. I've got my Man United gear on. The player I'm going to see, he's wearing my number 3 Birmingham City shirt that I wore with such ignominy in the 70s. You'll remember this game. They're 4-0 down to Blackburn at half-time.
Yeah.
Tyler's having a Mick Rathbone, it's now called. He's taken off at half time. I go in there, it's not the D Club, it's the other side, it's the new stand. I go in there at half time, I'm having a drink. A couple of fans come over, and it's really interesting. You said Mickey Rathbone, a couple of fans come over. One guy goes, it's Mickey Rathbone. I say, wow, good spot. He goes, just saying, Mickey, you are such a good player. I said, right, thank you, I'll stop you there. I'm the worst player who's ever played for Birmingham City. Now, he said, you were brilliant. We should never have sold you and Trevor for that £1,040,000. And the point is, Tommy, the fans don't even remember how bad you were. And he was saying what good player you were. And all that worry, all them terrible games, them terrible performances, people don't even remember it now. And the guy's saying, should never have sold you. No, should have hanged you.
I'm glad you said that because I've spoke to players and I said, I'm talking to Mickey Rath and they've gone, I'll give him my best. Ricky Spraggett, give him my best.
Yeah,
Kevin Broaders, give him Ian Atkins, give him my best. You're well respected in the game. So let's stick with the book. You've been sacked by your mate and, so talk us through it, because you worked at Blackpool, didn't you, with the next Birmingham boss or a Birmingham boss-to-be, Lee Clark?
I just bounced from club to club. And it was, I'll say, the phenomenon of that last-minute phone call. You're out the game. Ding, ding, you're in the game. I'll tell you a really good story. Like, I'd left Forest, and Ita Krank was in charge now. You'll know Ita. I got great with Ita, like, because I can speak really good Spanish and that, like, you know. And he said to me, please stay another year. But I said, no, I can only stay a year at night because I'm away from home. So I had 6 months with Warbs, Mark Warburton.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, this is weird, Tom. So me and Mark were really good friends and that, like, he only lasted till Christmas. It was incredible they sacked him. He's such a great guy. And
I interviewed him a short time ago at QPR.
Right. So my lad plays for Rotherham. So they got beat on pens 9-8. You know, the Premier League managers, there's too many games. So Rotherham can't now get a replay against QPR. They've got to lose 9-8 on pens. So that magical night and full house at New York Stadium can't happen next Tuesday because the Premier League guys, too many games. Okay, there's a beam mob on it anyway. So I text Mark after the game. So I was only talking to Mark anyway. So I'm at Forest with Ita. And then the season comes, we play at Bolton at the end of the season. He says, come on, stay, you know. I said, I can't because I'm a long way from home and that, like, you know. And then I've retired. It's all over, like, you know. I just left Wigan, sir. I'd left Wigan. And I was sat on the beach and I'm with my wife. And I've been away a lot, especially with the England teams and that, like, you know. and I'm drinking a bottle of beer, and I say in the book, you know, it's our time now. We're 60 years of age. It's Julie's time. I've been away so much, so much. You know, she deserves more. Let's grow old together. Let's do something together. Phone ringing. Picked it up. Dave Weir. Maz, it's Dave Weir. Will you come to Forrest's head physio? I'm on my way. Put the phone down. She'll understand. And that's the nature of the game, Tom. You're moving on. And I had no job. And then Steve Watson phoned me. You know Steve, obviously, yeah. He's a great guy. Steve phoned me, goes, will you come to Blackpool? I said, yeah, it's up the road from here. I can only come for 4 months, though, because I've got England camps and that. And I went there. And do you know what? I loved it. I loved it with Clarkie and Tomo.
What he's a top man.
They're great guys. You know what? It was such a hot... When I went, we had 7 points from 17 games. Clarkie tried everything. 3 at the back, 4 at the back, 5 at the back, 9 at the back. Train them hard, train them soft, arm around them, shout at them, lads on loan. He tried everything and he couldn't turn it round. And you know what? Sometimes Wigan went down when I was there, Blackpool went down. Nearly everywhere else I've had loads of success. I've been so lucky, and that's the word, lucky. But sometimes you're not quite good enough. And we had this kind of day at Blackpool, and Clive got the lads in. He goes, right, from the heart, why are we not winning games? And everyone was like, you know, it's that, it's this, it's that. And little David Perkins, he's been around for years, little diminutive midfield player. The gaffer, Clive said to him, come on, Perky, what is it? He said, you know what? And he shrugged his shoulders. He said, sometimes, gaffer, the team's not strong enough. And it's no disgrace. And it doesn't mean nobody cares. It doesn't mean we're bad people. Sometimes the team's not. I don't think Smith acknowledges a bad manager. I know Sean Dyche is a world-class manager, but sometimes your team ain't good enough. Your team ain't strong enough on that. And sometimes, you know, the teams that go down, my lad was at Rochdale last year. They battle for 4 years against relegation with the smallest crowds, smallest budget. And last year, they slipped out into the second division. They're not bad people. I watched every game on iPlayer. Every game on iPlayer last year because of COVID, £10 a time, £460 to watch Rochdale. The season tickets are only £100. But in all seriousness, what a great club, great people. Brian Barry Murphy is one of my best friends. He's now at Man City. He suffered, he struggled, he cried. I phoned him every Sunday. He lived that nightmare, dare I say. But you know what? They got to the last game almost of the season. They give everything they got. Sometimes you're just not strong enough, and that's the way it is.
You tell a lovely story in the second book, The Smell of Football 2, about Lee Clark losing it in the dressing room with the players.
Do you know what, Tom?
I know Lee well.
Tom, that's on the same theme. And you shouldn't really say what goes on in the dressing room, but that needed telling because people think you don't care.
Yeah.
And that was against Middlesbrough. It's life, Tom. That was against Middlesbrough. Their top were bottom on the beach Tuesday night, Blackpool's pitch, right? You know, we're losing 1-0, got 1-1, then they scored a scruffy goal. Ita Karanka, who would become a close friend of mine a year down the line, over-celebrating, no respect, in your faces, run up down. I get it. I probably do it myself, you know. And then I say, I've been in football 45, 47 years. I've been in loads of explosions, but I've never seen anything like that. And it was the perfect storm, that perfect wave, the perfect night. And, you know, it kicked off like I've never seen. It was absolutely terrifying, Tom. It nearly got out of hand. It nearly went to the next level. But I tell the story. And I don't criticise anybody. It's no one's fault. But we care. We don't want to lose. We don't want to lose the game in the last. We don't want to see Ita and the guys celebrating, running up and down. We don't want to see that. It hurts. We don't want to be booed up. We don't want to be bottom of the league. And it all kicked off in that meeting. And I'm telling you, mate, it was terrifying. Terrifying. And all it is, I say afterwards, it was Jamie O'Hara who'd been brilliant for us. He could play with a bad ankle. He'd been our best player. He lost it, the goal, he lost it, Clark, he lost it. Everyone was joining in. And that's because we care. We don't want to be a loser. And I say, when that winning goal goes in for them in the 94th minute, when we nearly got a draw out of a game, we were expecting nothing there, top of the league, you feel, it's like your guts have been pulled out, Tom. I'm only the physio, so does it matter? It's going to cost me money. No, but they're my friends. And it's visceral, mate, I'm telling you. And
absolutely.
It needed telling because... You know, I think the fans think you do care. But the rhetoric after losses, they don't care. They drive back to, I don't know, Dorrit, something where the Blues players live, Solihull, Wilmslow, where the North players live, they live, and maybe where the Blackpool players live. But I'm telling you, we care, the players care. I've never met a player yet who didn't want to play well. I've never met a player yet who didn't want to get a result, you know. So I think that story needed
that, Can that explosion in the dressing room, and I've seen it many times, I've been on team buses when it's happened.
Yeah.
Can that in many ways be quite cathartic and therapeutic?
You know what? Clarkie's fantastic. And I saw him for 4 months there doing everything. And, he's got that smile, but that hid the pain. Like, you know, you don't want to be a loser. He had incredible times at Huddersfield, probably took the Blues job, not at the right time. He's gone into Blackpool. If he's probably stood away and thought 7 points from 17 games, seriously, you know, problems there with the owners who were great with me, I've got to say, like, you know, probably jumped into that, like maybe Dave jumped into Sunderland, maybe with his eyes not properly open and that, like, you know. So, and I see Clarkie every day and Tomo and doing the best. And you know, people think that they're coming, go home, sitting there till five watching videos, trying to get players in. What can we do? What about their setting goal? And I've seen all that, you know. And I say that the fans don't really want to see that. But a couple of days, as I say, after that massive bust up, the day after, the like of, I've never seen anything like it, Tom. He got him in, and with a bit of wit and a bit of humour, he pulled it back together, and he was fractured after that, obviously. And he was brilliant. You know, I've got to say, I sat there and thought, you know what, Clarkie, that's amazing. Because he's a funny guy, isn't he, Clarkie?
He is funny, absolutely.
He's absolutely unbelievable company, you know, unbelievable company. And I'd been with him a couple of times when I went down to Wast Hills when we had Manuel Lads on loan. Faz was there, obviously, Faz, yeah. And Clarkie's there and Tomo and Watto, obviously. And I went down a couple of times to watch the Manuel Lads train and spoke to the sports science guys and that. But I had lunch with them and that, and we had laughed so much. I thought, God, he's such good company, like, you know. And I say, he tried everything he could, everything he could. You think that they don't care, they go home early, and, you know, and it's not like that, mate. No.
Interestingly, you worked with another good pal of mine, didn't you, AD Boothroyd?
Yeah, I would not say a bad word about AD. He was absolutely fantastic. I did a year, so that's 5 England camps with AD. We did the Toulon tournament together. That's 17 days in Toulon in May. That's a fantastic... We took the under-20s across with England and that. He was fantastic, AD. And do you know what? He was probably the first manager. You play 5 games in like 9 days. It's quite full on, but... It's a friendly tournament. It was great in that, like, you know. And after the third game, we had a day off, and he said to all the players, lads, you're all off tomorrow. It was, mate, we're in this 5-star hotel in Toulon. It's beautiful, honestly. The sun was back. He said, you're all off tomorrow. Sunbathe, go for a walk, play golf, Matt. But my staff are off. Don't be knocking on Baz's door for a rob or a stretch or extra training. Baz is off, the staff are off. And he was great for that. And what he used to do is say, right, all staff in the bar, 9 o'clock at night. You can have 10 pints or you can have an orange juice. That's entirely up to you. But what it does, so I'm busy in the medical room, lads are coming in, bit of this, bit of that. But I know that, lads, I'm sorry, I know 9 you want a massage, but I've got to be in that meeting. It might have been 8 o'clock. I've got to be in that meeting. And what AD's doing is looking after his staff. And do you know what? He was so innovative. It was Tour de France was going on. We were in France and that. We did, everything was based on the Tour de France. We did a meeting once in the swimming pool in different places that were floating there. It was absolutely fantastic. He got saddled with a long ball, AD Boothroyd. He may have needed that for results at Northampton and other clubs. With England, it was play out from the back, enjoy the ball. You know, you have to cut your cloth accordingly.
Yep.
But we were really good friends, I think, AD, and I wouldn't hear a bad word about that guy.
I'm of the same opinion as you. You ended up, you mentioned there about massage. There's one lovely story in the book about players asking somebody for a massage.
Tom, this is, it's got to be the greatest story in football. So there's a guy called Les Howell, and he's the physio 30 years ago, and the new stuff's coming in. and he's ex-Marines, proper old school, no, proper traditional methods, hard as effing nails, right? There's a story goes that he's on Goodison once, and he hobbles on with his bag, and one of the front lads is screaming in pain. He's actually rolling away from Les. So he rolls away, dying swan. So Les goes up to him. What's up, lad? The lad rolls away. So Les picks up, Les picks up his bag, goes over to him again. What's up, lad? Ah, ah, ah. And Les goes, yeah, F off, and went back to the dugout. Yeah. And then even it's in the story, it's Andrei Kanchelskis. I'm not sure if it was him, but that's the story I got told. Yeah. So the new stuff's coming in, like, you know, and it's at Belfield, the old training ground, before I went. So probably, I don't know, probably mid-90s, you know, the new stuff's coming in, like, you know. So Andrei Kanchelskis comes in, he goes, Les, come on now, legs tired, come on, recover, massage. Now, need now. So Les goes, hang on, lad, give me 30 seconds, lad. He goes out, he comes back, he got the yellow pages, he throws it at him, he goes, hey, all lad, under M.
That is old school. That is old school.
A great story, mate, a great story. And I see it all now, we all do it. And I work hard, man, with the lads. And at Forest, we take 3 beds to a hotel and we're working on the players. We want the players to feel their best prepared. Like, I think they should not be having that. We've got a game tomorrow. Don't make it into a sick room. You lads are fit, go to bed, get up tomorrow and play the bloody game. Lying around with game readies and recoveries, massages and that, like. And many times when I'll be rubbing away on a Friday night, I'll be thinking of Les. God, if Les was here now. Yeah, lad, under M.
how much of that, not the, you'd know as a experienced physio what an injury is, but are there other ones which are more psychological for a player than factual, if that makes sense?
Well, Tom, pain is a complex combination of physiological, my pain, nerve waves being stimulated by that bruise. The psychological, oh my God, this hamstring's going to keep me out of the team, and oh my God, no bonus, my contract's up, and the sociological, and what are the players going to say? I've been injured before, and where am I going to sit in the dressing room now, injured again? So it's like anything else. When you're 3 years of age, you run on the concrete, you fall over, you jump up, you're all tough. Yeah, I'm fine, Daddy. I'm fine, Mommy. Oh, your hand's bleeding. Oh,
yeah.
You know, so it's an element of that. And players don't malinger, and they're not necessarily soft as such. You don't get to that level if you're soft. But there are all them different layers to it as well. And, you know, I know player A will play with that, and I know player B won't play with that. And that's not because player A wants it more than player B. It's because player B has a different makeup sociologically, psychologically, you know. So, yeah, even today we look at a couple of players and we can push him, maybe not push him. And we're not pushing him because he's soft and he's pathetic. It's you know, he'll react better. We'll leave it till Saturday and he'll fly Saturday, you know. It's just how you are and how you cope and that, you know. So there is, yes, there's a lot of that.
How did it come about? Because I know Everton have become very important in your life. So
yeah.
how did going back to them happen?
Unbelievable. The phone call. I've been to the Caribbean doing some games for Montserrat over there. Incredible. Came back and I'm just expecting it now. Like, you know, I have this incredible road to Damascus thing, looking at the volcano. I see things differently. And I get home. It's all about being 60. It's my 60th birthday. The phone rings. It's Danny Donoghue, who was my junior physio, I guess, when I was ahead of everything there. Baz, the physio's left suddenly. We haven't got a physio for the 23s. Will it come back? Yeah. And that kind of completes the jigsaw in the book, like, you know, and I went back and they won the double, the 23s. It was amazing. So it was meant to be, mate.
A big time for you, though, going back there. Was it, did, because you had such a wonderful time under Moisey. Was it different?
It was different, Tom, because I'll tell you a really incredible story. So I left Everton, sacked, moved on, parted company, we've decided, haven't we, is the word.
Yeah.
No hard feelings, done me a favour, me and Dave are best friends, yeah? Mm-hmm. So, but I've moved on to other clubs. I've not been back to Goodison for 5 years, 6 years, whatever. I don't know, a long time. Then it's the last game of the season, Everton versus already relegated Norwich. Tim Howard's last game. I want to go and see Tim. We were close. My son-in-law had just left Norwich because my daughter's a psychologist, worked in Norwich. My son-in-law left Norwich where he was an analyst. He's now living near to us because he moved on. He's up here now. We decide, me and Craig got the game. I'll go in the Everton dressing room. He's in the Norwich one. Had a lovely day, yeah? They made us a look. Everton is the best club in the world. Lunch, everything. I just want to say to the lad, it's not my star. Hi, come in. No, that'll do. Hi, good to see you. Went upstairs. We're having food. Fantastic. Moshiri's first day at the club. He's just bought the club. He walks in with Bill Kenrock, who's a fantastic guy. Walks in. Everybody stands up, chanting, singing. The guy's on our table, tears in his eyes. He goes to me, Baz, now we get a chance to be great again. What I then said, Tom, is now prophetic. It's in my book. I said, be careful what you wish for, mate. This is a great club. I don't care. It's in the communities, the heart, a soul. I've never experienced it, honestly. Birmingham's up there with it as well. You know, those clubs where you don't win much, but no one's got better. I remember going to St Andrews with Everton. The noise, I've never seen it in a Premier League game as at St Andrews. You know, when the sub comes off,
yeah.
You know, yeah. All that. So we all said St Andrews got the best atmosphere in the Premier League. Anyway, that notwithstanding. So we go back and they've gone in. They've had all that money to make them great. They've probably, they would have not spent it fantastically well. It's not worked. 7 years on, 6 years on. They're now, they're going to be fine, but they're in the nether regions of the division. They've had now five or six managers since David left, mainly foreign staff. And I say in the book, be careful what you wish for. And they've now become a modern, typical Premier League club, hiring, firing, three results away from losing your job, not building so much for the future.
Yeah.
If you've only got four or five games to, you know, stay in a job, you can't really get interested in how the under-14s are doing. I get all that, like, you know, and that's what's happened. Nobody's fault. If they look back, they'd probably do it differently, but that's what they've done. That's what most clubs do. They can't wait to spend the money and you know, I guess Newcastle will do a lot of that in Jan and they'll do a lot in their summer and good luck to them. It's their money, it's their turn and that. But I think probably what I said back then 5 years ago in that game against Norwich, after the game, is turned out to be prophetic.
You've been in the game a long time, 40-odd years in the game. So you've been with managers and you're the sort of guy who likes a relationship with people. It wasn't quite, according to your book, this new book, which is compulsive reading, you sort of say it ain't quite the same. There isn't the relationship with a manager when you're the under-23s.
Yeah, it's different. And I love being back at the academy. I really enjoyed it. David Unsworth is the academy manager. Fantastic. You know, the Rhino, he's got a fearsome reputation. The funny thing was, Tom, I went for 6 months, like three years ago. And at the end of the season, I was into the manga. And I thought, I'm going to get my notice now. I only want to stay for 6 months because I'm 61 now. So I went upstairs. I went into the breakfast room and Unsworth was sat chomping away in his full English, like, you know. And I said, Dave, he said, oh, morning, Baz. Okay, mate. Yeah, all set. Yeah. I said, no issues. Yeah, everyone's training, blah, blah, blah. I said, just to let you know, Dave, I'll give you a month's notice. I'll leave when I get back. Carries on chewing. He goes, yeah. He goes, Baz, F off. So I walked away. I thought, oh, awkward, like, you know. I thought, well, no, come on. So what am I going to say? Yeah, good one, Dave. I said, but no, I'll give a month's notice when I get back. I'll work a car while I'm here that night, you know. And he goes, yeah, Baz, are you deaf? Seriously? F right off. So I went down the stairs. I thought, oh, come on, you can leave if you want, can't you? I went back up and said, Dave, seriously, I'm leaving in a month. He goes, right, I'm getting really angry now, so I suggest you go. So anyway, what I say in the book, I said, what Dave's really saying in his own inimitable ways, come on, Baz, we've got some great young lads coming through. I need you for another year. Can you do that? And I say in the book, I'll do that for Everton. They've done so much for me. But I loved it at the academy. I loved it. They've brought some really good players now. They've got some really good players coming through. I worked with, obviously, Ebbs and Franny. The medical guys were fantastic. But you know what? You need the crowd. You need that noise. And one of my very first games was for Salford was Crawley away Tuesday night. And my daughter lives in Kent. And her boyfriend has got an Arsenal season ticket. he come to the game, I could see him behind the dugout having a pie because it's so much more intimate there. Like, yeah. You know, and we got beat 2-1, was winning 1-0. It was a lovely sort of late summer night, ebbing and flowing and 3,000 on noisy, and they won in the end. And after the game, Robbie, the Arsenal fan, I met him outside because you can go out, you can meet people, the coaches there, the pizzas have arrived and that. He was going to come back to the hotel because we stayed down for a pint, no issues and that, like, you know. He goes, God, that was fantastic. All the years I've been to Arsenal, who I love and that, 60,000 on, like, you know, £6 for a pie or a pint, whatever it is, I don't know, I'm probably being a bit harsh on them there. He goes, today, 5 rows back, the noise, the cut and thrust and the excitement. He goes, it's the best I've ever been to. And there is an element to that. And, you know, I've worked in the Premier League most of my life or the Championship. League Two is so stripped back. Do you know what? We have home games at the Peninsula Stadium for Salford. We've got Tranmere tomorrow. I think Hartlepool bought 500. I think Bristol bought 500. Rochdale bought 800. Bradford bought 1,000. It's unbelievable, mate. You think League Two's the dead zone? Absolutely not. We won at Newport. And actually, because that was in Wales Saturday, there was actually no crowd. But the games are end to end. And I'm not saying it's Man City or Barcelona like tiki-taki football, but I tell you what, it's passionate. It's hitting the bar, then it's hitting the bar at the other end. And it's unbelievable.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
I love it, mate. Honestly, it's so exciting. And we've had a couple of good results now, and I think, hopefully, touch wood, we can, like, push on now.
Well, I got a Solihull Moor squad a lot, and I can understand that. I was at Kidderminster on Saturday, so I know exactly where you're coming from. Fantastic. I can't believe, reading your book, that, and I never realised, physios had to do a song when they're at a new club, an initiation song.
Well, no, all the staff have to do it.
Do they?
Everybody does, yeah. And, you know, it's really funny because everybody hates it. It's really stressful, especially for the young players, like, you know, but some of the staff and the older players, they get off on it. They love to see the young lads with their faces, can't eat their evening meal and that. And then just when you think it's not going to happen, some horrible, vindictive TWAT, it's that tap of spoon, the chairs move centrally, like, you see the young lads dying a death and they're sat by the full plates of food they can't eat. And they have to go one by one and sing and that, like, you know. But I've done it loads of times. And what I realised years ago, get up and sing. Don't make a deal about it. You're not a singer. No one's going to say, oh, Mick Rathbone's a bad singer. I mean, they may do. As long as they don't say he's a bad physio, I'm not really that bothered. So the kind of pain of getting up there and worrying about it for all closed season, it's not worth that. Standing, yeah, you're crap. Yeah, well, I'm not a singer, am I? You know, no, we make you a crap physio. No. So what I've perfected, right, and I've done it 5 times now. So Baz, go on, Baz. Baz's turn. Good old Baz. So tap, spoon, Baz goes up, like, you know. I've done it 5 times now, like, you know. I did it first at Wigan Forest in the Caribbean with England. I think I've done it with Everton 23s. I've done it. I've done it with Salford 8 weeks ago. So people think you're going to come up and do, I don't know, Frank Sinatra or something, like, you know. So I get up and I say, right, lads, I don't know any songs. So somebody shouts someone out and I'll do my best to sing it. And I say, what was that? What? The final rap scene from the Eminem movie 8 Mile. I'm 58, not 28. But you know what Mark Warburton says? He says, this was at Forest, obviously, you do your best and give it a go. So I'm going to give it a go. Of course, I know all the words. So this old guy gets up, and I do all the mannerisms too. So we start with, oh, I think I've even seen the film. I'll do it anyway. Is it everybody from the 313, put your mother effing hands up and follow me? And then I do the whole thing, you see. And I've had 5 standing ovations, which is 5 more than I ever had as a player. So, I'll probably never do that again. Do you know what, though? Do you know what? If you've seen that film, Tom, you'll have seen the film. It's one of the greatest things, the final rap scene. He's a white guy and surrounded by black people. And when I've done it in Montserrat, we do it brilliantly. Every time we won, which was 3 times out of 4, we do it like, you know, I get up there like, you know, and obviously the lads are a bit older at Montserrat, like, and they've seen the film. So the guys are sat down doing that. And one of the lads gets up. If you've seen the clip, one of the guys is right in his face. So one of the guys, Adrian Clifton, unbelievable. Scored, didn't he, for Boreham Wood. Scored for Boreham Wood on Saturday, the winning goal.
Yep.
So Cliffy, he's there. He's a big guy. So he's in my face as the guy from the movie, like, you know, and we do it together, all the lads in the background. So when I did it with Montserrat, it was top draw, like. So
Everybody, I've not heard anybody say a bad word about you in the game. But have you had any? Did you ever have any fallouts? Did you ever have any fallouts?
No. I see the good in me and, like, who was it? Was it me and Gary Peters years ago? My first job at Preston before Dave was playing the team, and Gary Peters said to me, "We're brilliant together, me and you, Baz. You see only the good in people. I see only the bad in people, so we've got a good working relationship." And I treat people like I would like to be treated. My mantra has been, it's nice to be important, it's more important to be nice. It's got me nowhere, Tom. I don't expect too much of other people, Tom. I don't expect too much of other people. Every people's got their SHIT going on. So if somebody does me what I could say was a bit of a disservice, I think, well, yeah, but he's got his own stuff going on. So I always smile, I always laugh, you know. I remember Josie Fiore at Everton saying years ago, "Baz, you always smile, you always laugh." I said, "Yeah, I'm working with Josie Fiore every day." So, you know, I remember Brian McClair at Man United, we'd always say, you know what, Brian would say to me, "I've never worked a day in my life. I've never been to work. I come to work at a football club. I've never done a day's work in my life." And I've felt the same, mate.
Well, when you get my book, the first line is, Confucius said, "Find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life."
Absolutely. And we've experienced that, and we're really, really lucky with that, aren't we, Tom?
Unbelievably.
The rain, it started raining on my bonds today. But, you know, I still love being out on the grass with the players, the strappings before, the laughter, the joking.
The banter.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
you as a young player, though. You as a young player could be a nightmare, to be fair.
Well, I struggled. I saw the other side of it. All my perception of it, it was cut. It was more difficult in those days. And I went under with it. And it's really interesting. Your best mate's Kev Broadus. Me and Kev started on the same day. Kev went on to have a really good career at Birmingham, but he had a lot of knee problems, obviously. And it's really interesting because if I look at that intake of players, I look at the players who did great, and that would be Broadie, and it would be Kev Dillon from the Northeast, and it would be Mark Dennis from London. And I look at the lads who really struggle, me, Big Roy from bloody Linden, and Foxy, God rest his soul. And I don't think there's any coincidence that the lads from close and the lads who wore that blue shirt, probably too tight to the chest and their hearts, and it was those local lads who struggled a lot more. And when I went to Blackburn, 115 miles away, or a division down, but as I got on that train away from Birmingham, I felt that pressure of your cousin being at the game, your maths teacher being at the game, your mum being at the game, and I felt that easing away. And that's not criticising them, but it is a lot easier to be distant and playing for a club a little bit further away.
Wonderful, 310 games for Blackburn, by the way. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So we answered the question about whether you were a good footballer or not, because that was sorted.
Yeah. Do you know what? If I had more confidence, and people laugh, but when they see me like today, they say, "God, you left foot, right foot, you're touching that." I say, if I'd have had confidence, I'd have played in the Premier League and I'd have played for England 14. However, that's like saying if I had more skill. So components of football, a skill, pace, awareness, bravery, confidence, and they're all the same. So
the game is between your ears then.
Absolutely. But I'm not crying that I had, you know, that was a component that I lacked. And I'll tell you an incredible story, Tom. It's an incredible story, this. And this sums it up. Back in the mid-70s, when I was on my knees with confidence issues, I got in the first team, played crap. I was out of the team and that, like, you know. Eventually, Sir Alf realised I weren't going to be the next Sir Bobby Moore and left me out of the team. Jim Smith came then, Tom, and we'd have loads of practice matches. And we'd start and we'd all be in the middle. He'd pick the team and he'd say, right, Mickey Rathbone, you've been crap. you're going to play in the reserves today. So I'm putting the bib with number three on for the reserves. Foxy, different class in training. You play for the first team. He puts the seven on. I'm playing against my best mate, Foxy. He's nervous, tense in the first team, getting stick on the players. I'm now free of nervousness. He can't get past me. I'm overlapping. I'm on fire. He can't control the ball. Half-time, into the halfway line. Foxy, not good enough. Take that bib off. Mickey Rathbone, brilliant. Well done. Right, Mickey Rathbone, first team second half. Foxy, get in the resis. I'm now playing against him again, but I'm now in the first team. He's in the resis. He's roasting me. He's turning inside out. On that, mate, that happened. Incredible story. And if you want to know the power of confidence, that's in a nutshell, mate.
Did you genuinely keep away from the manager or keep out of his sight when you were at Blues? Yeah.
You know the Farmers Field story. You know that. They'd have meetings every day and they'd come out and Jim Smith would look across numbers. We've got 23 players to train. We need 24. We've got 14. We've got 15. We need 16 for an 8-a-side. He'd look across to I was having great fun with the under-18s, with Ken Oliver and later on with Sid Owen and over with my, I was the best player. It was great. Me and Brodie having a great time, Big Roy, my friends and that, like, you know. Then they come out of the meeting and I'd see him looking across, looking for me to drag me into the killing fields. So I'd get a ball at my feet and I'd fire it into the Farmers Field. There's probably Solihull Moor's ground now, like, you know. I'd go in there and I'd lie down in the long, I think it was Sprouts, it could have been Corn, and I'd lie there. And eventually, he'd look over, couldn't find me. Right, I don't know. Des Davis, you're with us today. And Des, and you know, like the life of Brian, where you carry, he's carrying the cross, and somebody goes, let me carry that. He goes, yeah, cheers. So Des Davis got the cross, and he went over, carried that over to the first team.
Great lad, Des Davis, as well, by the way.
Do you know what? Life, Tommy, about 10 years ago, no, 12 years ago, when I was head of medicals at the new training ground, the A-teams were playing. The first team we trained must have been playing on Sunday, and under-18s were playing on Saturday morning. And somebody goes over to me, goes, Baz, will you go over to the Wolves, Everton under-18 games, a lad there, Des Davis, dedication, Des Davis used to call him, God. Unbelievable, mate, unbelievable.
Crazy God. World. You as a young apprentice, I think you had probably the best excuses for being late for training, I was told.
What was that, mate? I had so many. The dogs needed walking. I had that DAF Varia Matic.
What car did you drive then in them early days?
I had that DAF Varia Matic.
That's
kept
right.
Breaking out. I couldn't get it started. Like, you know.
One of your all-time, maybe it's apocryphal, but one of them was that you were late because you were travelling to training and your back wheel overtook the car.
Tom, that's a true story. And Tom, nobody would make that up. It has to be true. So I've got this primrose yellow DAF Varia Matic. If you know your cars, they run on elastic bands almost, like, you know. Anyway, I'm coming up. I'm coming from Tamworth, but I'm coming through Lee Village, where there's that island.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I put the brake on, there's a crunch, and the wheel goes past the car. And that's it, mate. It was Cope's Garage in them days, up by the fire station, up there, like, you know. And that's a true story, mate. The wheel come flying off the back of my bloody DAF Varia Matic. Yeah, true story, mate.
Who's the best manager?
I'm so pleased.
Who was the best manager you played for?
There's been so many. They've all got good facets. I'll tell you something, mate. This guy now, Gary Bowyer, was at Blackburn, obviously at Blackpool and that. I'm with him now at Salford. I only went for 2 weeks in August, like, you know, they said stay. I stayed for Gary Bowyer. That guy is incredible. Yeah. I mean, Boothroyd, great. Warburton, great. I like Karanka. Moyes, world class. I've been with Sir Alf Ramsey. I like Jim Smith, even though he shouted a lot, but he helped me a lot, you know, because you know what happened? I was imploding. It's in the first book. I'd gone and we played at Bolton the day before. I'd played terrible. We drew 2-2. Trevor got both goals and I was getting booed. It was ugly. We had a meeting on the Monday morning and we was playing Man U at home on the Saturday. And we get in there and Jim Smith comes in. And Jim Smith said, right, Joe Gallagher wants to say a few words. Joe's only about, I'm probably 17, 18. Joe's only 22, 23, club captain, team captain. Joe gets up. I like Joe. Joe's a friend. Joe gets up and goes, I want to say, you young lads are an effing disgrace. And he goes to me, he goes, because you think you're brilliant, but you're crap. I thought, right, you're wrong there. I think I'm crap and I am crap. So you're actually wrong. Then he goes into Kevin Dillon, blah, 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 blah. Then he goes to Mark Dennis. He goes, you. Why am I laughing? He goes, you, if my kid turns out like you, I'll drown it. So then Jim Smith goes, oh, thanks, Joe. I'm thinking, thanks, Joe. I feel great now. So Jim Smith gets up. He goes, right, we're training now. And I'm telling you, any of you CUNTSs don't want to play against Man United on Saturday, stay behind and telling me. I'm thinking opportunity to chat. Anyway, everyone troops out training and I'm sat there. He goes, what the F are you doing there? I said, well, you know, you said, if you don't want to play Saturday, stay behind. I don't want to play Saturday. I don't want to train today. I never want to kick another ball as long as I live. In fact, I think my girlfriend's got me into Dynarod next week as a technician. I had the most O levels in my grammar school. I was a champion 800 meter runner, England Youth International, made my debut at Spurs at 17. I'm in such a state. I'd rather go and clean people's bogs out now, Tom, than play for Birmingham.
Now, I was obviously around then, and I used to speak to you a lot. And you used to come to me on Saturday after a game and stuff, and you'd say things like, is any jobs going anywhere at the Argus? Tom, I think I want to be a priest. And I used to think, piss taker. That's what I thought. But now I realised the turmoil you were going through.
Yeah. It was
painful. Is there not enough done, Baz, to recognise this in kids?
Yes. At Everton, they're unbelievable. And we have an eye on that at Salford. There's a lot done. It's a different world now. Like, you know, but back in those days, it was tough. It was a tough environment. You had a man up and you had to play. I played one home game for Birmingham. And in them days, you do now, you get changed in the corner and you walk down the tunnel, like, you know. And I remember standing there and I remember thinking to myself, if I was going to be hanged now, I could not feel any worse. Telling you, I could not feel any worse. I was getting hanged in that light, you know. And as I walked out and you go blinking into the sunlight and it's Mr. Blue Sky. If I hear that now, I have to lie down. I loved ELO, Mr. And that'd say, wouldn't they? Number one, and you go keep it. It's Dave Latchford, yeah. Number two, Malcolm Page, yeah. Number three, Big Rathbone. Boo. I might have imagined it even. I don't doubt that. But, oh, terrified. And do you know what, Tom? If you're out on that pitch, and I'll warn any player, eventually the ball will come to you. You can hide as much as you want. And when the goalie gets you to throw out, go and stand by the winger. But I'm telling you, mate, that ball's going to come to you. In 90 minutes, it's got to come to you. Bobbling and rolling with evil intent. You can't escape the ball. And do you know the power of catastrophic thinking, mate? Once we had a home game against Leicester, at St Andrews, obviously, it was on Star Soccer in them days. Yeah. And I was sub-12th man. And I'm sitting there thinking, please don't put me on. I'm counting backwards from 5,400. I was about to 310 elephants, 309 elephants. I'm nearly there, Tom. And I'm thinking to myself, if you go on, you will make a mistake and they will equalise. That was going to happen. So I went on, made a mistake, and I equalised. And talk about the power of catastrophic thinking. Incredible, mate. Incredible.
I
got through it, you know. I got through it and I played all those games. And my redemption for suffering was now, and all the clubs I've physioed at, I really help players. I talk to players and I say, hey, I play 450 games. I SHIT myself for everyone. I can't remember them now. I can't remember them. And when I worked at Manu as a mentor, when players had those same issues, we'd meet for a coffee usually at the Trafford Centre over the road. I'd say, right, I know you're struggling, but I'll tell you now, if I stop 100, a lot of these players are in the Prem now, if I stop 100 people in here, I promise you 99 of them will never have heard of you and never seen you play. Because when you're struggling, Tom, Yeah. And I used to go out for a walk in the park in Sheldon. And I think they're pointing at me. They're pointing at me. I mean, Waitrose at Sheldon. That she's looking at me. She's saying, he's crap. She don't know me. They don't know me. Nobody knows me. Blues have good gates. There's 1.3 million people in Birmingham. Do the math. 99% of people don't go to Blues games. But when you're in it, when you're struggling, everyone's looking at you. I'm sat on the bus. They're looking around. They're saying, he's crap. He's crap. The guy in the park, the girl on the checkout, they're laughing. What they're laughing at? Because they're laughing. They're saying, I'm crap. But you now know. So that awful period that I got through, I had a good career and basically enjoyed it a lot, especially at Blackburn and Preston at the end of it, like, you know, that pain and my redemption now and my job in life is to make it easier and better for young players. So I do that a lot. If I see a player struggling, I'll say, like, come on, you'll be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You know, the game's forgotten by Saturday night. And my lad plays for, he was at Man U till he was 19, had a year as a pro, got released. Went to Rochdale, had 4 years there, did really, really well. Got a great move. He could have got a good move last summer before, but they wouldn't accept the money. But he only had a year to go. He's got a great move to Rotherham. And now instead of playing in a relegation match, he's playing at the top of the league and that, like, you know. I text him before every single game, capital letters, Ron and Smile. He played at Loftus Road Saturday, Ron and Smile. And I don't care if he plays. I care if he's happy, but I don't want him to go through. I'll tell you something incredible, Tom. Life, mate, about 6 weeks ago, me and my wife were in the car driving through Hanager, and Ollie texts me. He goes, oh, Dad, for your information, I don't know if you're interested, I'm doing a live interview on Radio Sheffield about, he's done great at Rotherham. He's played really well, nearly every minute, and he's got some fabulous reviews and that. And Radio Sheffield are interviewing me, and we got it on my wife's phone in the car. And I'm in the car in Harrogate listening to my son in Sheffield being interviewed about his career. And they were saying, it was really funny. They say, Oliver, things are going really well at Rotherham. You're top of the league. You've been playing really well. Get some good reviews. And that. Tell us about your dad. Oliver texts me afterwards, Dad, back off. This is my time. Anyway, they said, like, your dad wrote a book. I read it. It was really good. And what's he like? And they said, and Oliver, I'm listening to my son speaking about me on the radio. He said, you know what? Him and mum are great. All they want me to do is metaphorically tidy my room, be a good person, do my best. And they don't care if I'm at Man U, Barcelona, Rotherham, or Bamber Bridge, or they don't care. They just care that I'm happy, I'm respectful, I give everything in everything I do, and metaphorically tidy my room. That was ever so emotional, Tom.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I had a lump in my throat and that, like, you know, and I thought, well, the little son's got the message anyway, like, you know. But it made me feel so good, Tom, that everything I'd ever tried with my kids, just to do your best. And if it takes you to Barcelona, if it takes my daughter to being the world's greatest psychologist, or my other daughter, the world's greatest business person, that's great. But if you do your best and it takes you to, I don't want to pick a job that's menial now and disrespect anybody, because there's no, every workman's worth his wage and that, like, you know. But if it takes you to a less glamorous job,
yeah,
that's equally great. Now, if my lad has got the ability to play high-level football and he's now playing for the pubs because he didn't try, I'd say that's pretty poor, son. If my daughter's got the brains, and my other daughter's got the brains to have an MBA in business studies, and my daughter's a psychologist, and they didn't try at school, and they're now working elsewhere, I would be disappointed in them. But while they do their best, I'll never be disappointed. And my lad, he plays for Rotherham. He plays nearly every minute. He's done his 130 minutes at Loftus Road, scored his pair, come home. I saw him yesterday. He was still knackered, falling asleep, like, you know. But he gives everything. It may take him up the leagues, may take him down the leagues. I couldn't give an F-U-C-K as long as the kid's happy. Now, he probably won't be happy because he wants to play in the championship, like, you know. But even so, me and his mom don't care. And we've always tried to instill that in our kids and that. And as I say, it was really interesting to hear him speak. And it seems like he's got the message, Tom.
And that's important. That shows how well he's been brought up. It's called The Smell of Football 2. It's written by Baz, Mick Rathbone, who's, you've just heard his career, but this book is absolutely, the first one was brilliant. This is absolutely amazing. Mick, how can they get it?
Well, it's really interesting. The first one was in Waterstones and that. You don't make much money. So the second one, because it was the same name, it had a massive following. It's only available on my own website, www.thesmelloffootball2.co.uk. The caveat to that is I'm going to do all book signings now, right? So when the first come out, the publisher got in touch with me, goes, right, you're in Saturday, the massive Waterstones in Liverpool doing a book signing. I said, I can't do it. I can't, because nobody might come. I said, I can't do it. He goes, look at your contract. You got to do it. Oh, my God. Saturday in the summer, that massive Waterstones in Liverpool. Oh, my God. No one's going to come. That's going to be the toughest day ever, sitting there, nobody there. So I got into Liverpool about 8:30, went into the big square. Obviously, it's not open yet. There's no one there. Like, I looked and there's a big picture of me on the window, Tom. There's hundreds of books, a table, and a single pen. I'll never forget it. I'm thinking, this will be the worst day of my life. So we're going to the Coffee Nero out of sight. I'm sat there with a cappuccino. It's now 8:55. Here goes nothing. I've got to go. I go out into the square. Massive queue. I'm thinking, oh, new pound shop. No, that's not fair. That's a joke, because Scousers are the absolute best. And they know I think that, like, you know. Massive queue. I'm signing. The great John Barnes comes in. I played against him. I didn't recognise him from the front, obviously. He bought a book. I sold every book. It was a happy step. It was a validation of me being so shit. I could get a book out of it. And then, Tom, and I want this on my grave. I want it on my grave. The lady manager has come over and she said to me, you got a bigger queue than James Corden.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll do. That'll do. Folks, get to the website. You heard it. And it's called The Smell of Football 2 by... Well, one of the game's great characters, I have to say. Mick, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, mate. Thank you for doing that.
And you've got it. Well, I'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
I don't need a job now. I'm okay.
Thanks very much. Folks, he's been Mick Rathbone. It's called The Game's Gone, the podcast. Please leave a review. Good, bad, or indifferent. I want the truth, as always. Leave a review. It's been fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. Until the next time, we'll see you soon.